Kevin, if we hadn't run into each other at the airport, I would have contacted you within the next few days anyway. He seemed surprised. Really? It would have been mandatory. I paused and took in a deep breath. There was no way that I could have continued to hide it from you.
Hide what? Your emotions?
No. Our baby. Tevin's mouth fell open, and then his eyes fell to my stomach, which was covered by the loose sundress I was wearing. He reached out and touched it. I wasn't showing in a major way, but as my lover, he knew that there was more there than there used to be. Finally, he spoke.
How many months?
I'm about 18 weeks.
What? Did? Are you okay?
I'm fine and the baby's fine. I don't want you to panic.
I'll try not to. It's just that.
I understand. There's no indication that I won't be able to carry the baby to term. I realize that you're concerned about a miscarriage. I ran my hand across his face. Even though things fell apart between us, I'm sure you know that there was no way that I would ever, or could ever, abort your child. He got down on the floor and laid his head on my stomach.
I know you wouldn't.
This child was conceived out of love, and I couldn't have picked a better father for my child. As loving as you are toward me, this baby is in for a lifetime of attention from both of us. He glanced up at me. Please don't make my child be born out of wedlock. It would be different if we were casual, or it was a one-night stand, but your ring is right there on the coffee table, and I didn't want to marry you because of the baby. I asked you before I even knew you were pregnant. Tevin, we need to get used to each other again. We need to talk and do things and feel comfortable around each other again.
You don't feel comfortable with me, Gemistry?
I'm not sure. I think so, but it's been months, and it's really not so much about you as it is about me. I still have some unresolved issues from my past, and before I commit to marriage, I need to work them out.
We can do premarital counseling.
Yes, we should definitely consider that, if and when we officially become engaged. Tevin looked like he had been slapped.
If and when?
If it were an automatic yes, then I would just say yes, baby. He moved his head up from my stomach to my mouth and started kissing me. I was a goner, and we both knew it. The fact of the matter was that I was in love with him and could no longer run from it. It would have been insane for me not to love him. I was going to have to let go of the past and make a sincere attempt at happiness, for me, for him, and for our unborn child. Chapter 23. Tevin ran me a bath in his step-down garden tub. Then he sat beside me and washed me all over in the most tender way. His eyes were glued to the baby bump on my stomach the majority of the time. He turned on Marcia Ambrosius's Late Nights and Early Morning CD to help me relax. Her music is like being serenaded by a songbird.
When's your next doctor's appointment?
On Tuesday.
I'm going.
I giggled. You didn't even ask me the time. What if you have to work or have a scheduled surgery?
I'm going to take off work, and if there is a surgery scheduled, we'll rearrange your appointment so I can be there.
Tevin, it's not that serious. It's only a routine prenatal checkup. Why don't you wait until I get a sonogram next month? I heard that's when the excitement begins.
The excitement began for me the second you told me that you're carrying my seed. They listen to the baby's heartbeat and check your vitals and everything, right?
Yes. But you can do that right in your bedroom, can't you? I splashed some water at him. After all, you are a doctor.
We both laughed.
True enough. I'm going to do that too.
I bet you will.
But I'm still going Tuesday. I want to make sure. Everything is fine. I feel fine. He started caressing one of my breasts that were both fuller since becoming pregnant.
Yes. You do feel fine.
I want you to make love to me tonight, Tevin. I want us to try to rebuild what we had.
We will, and sooner or later, hopefully sooner, you'll agree to be my wife. He started washing my back with a towel. I meant what I said. I want us to be married when our child is born.
I realize you meant it, but you do know that a lot of people have kids prior to marriage, and a lot of them never get married at all. It's a new trend.
Yeah, well, fuck that. Trend or not, I was raised to be married to the mother of my children. It's crazy to me that people will commit to making children together, but won't commit to each other in the truest sense of the word.
It's become the norm now. I'd guess that half of the mothers of the kids at Mega Evers have never been married.
But I bet they're telling their kids not to have sex outside of marriage, let alone not to have kids, Tevin said. I'm not sure why they would be surprised when it happens, if they provided the blueprint for doing it.
Well, a lot of parents are single because they got divorced.
I get that, and you're preaching to the choir. That happened with my own parents.
I know.
The conversation was not going well.
Tevin had a point. I was willing to carry his baby because I believed that he would be a great father, but I hesitated to marry him. But I was no dummy either. Men could be amazing fathers and be horrific mates, or vice versa. They could be terrific mates, but fail at fatherhood altogether. The CD switched to the next song, Chasing Clouds.
I stood to get out of the tub. Tevin received me into a towel and dried me off from head to toe. I had almost forgotten how tender he could be with me. He sat on the edge of the tub so that his head was level with my chest and then started gingerly sucking on my left breast. It was tender because my hormones were out of whack and it was a little painful. But I liked the feeling just as I always did in the couple of days leading up to my period every month. One thing was for sure. I didn't miss my periods. Hated them. Men had no idea how disgusting and traumatic menstrual cycles were for women. And we had to go through that shit every month. I palmed the back of his head and pulled him closer to me. He sucked harder and I moaned. He reached between my legs and started fingering my pussy. I spread my legs wider so he could stick a couple more inside of me. I started gyrating my pussy on his fingers as I swayed to the slow rhythm of the song. Tevin stopped sucking my breast for a moment. I've missed you, baby. I kissed the top of his head as he wrapped his arms around my waist and buried his face in my chest. I've missed you too, my love. I lifted his head and gazed into his eyes. You are my love, Tevin. I realize that now. I love you, and even though I need some more time before I can take it to the level of marriage, what I feel for you is real. You have no idea how long I've waited to hear you say that, Gemistry. But I'm glad you waited until you were sure.
Well, I'm definitely sure. I love you.
I love you too.
I buried my tongue in his mouth. He was thick, sweet, and we explored the caverns of each other's souls. We continued the kiss as he lifted me up and carried me to bed. He laid me down on a pile of pillows and ate my pussy until I came all over his tongue. My senses seemed heightened because of the pregnancy. It must have been the hormones, but all I know is that I could barely take the sensation. A couple of times I tried to pull away from him, but he pulled me right back so he could get what he wanted. Once I climaxed for the third or fourth time, I lost count. He was ready to have intercourse. He seemed nervous about getting on top of me, so I got on top of him in a reverse cowgirl position and rode him as he grabbed my breast from behind.
I'm not ever letting you go, Gemistry. Never again, he whispered.
You never have to worry about it. Never again. We both came and I curled up into his arms and fell asleep. The next morning, Tevin was in the kitchen bright and early cooking breakfast. The man really knew how to throw down. Turkey bacon, egg whites with spinach and fresh garlic, grits, and buttermilk biscuits.
He had the morning news on, and as usual, it was nothing but bad news. The world was truly going to shit. Parents killing their own kids, men killing their pregnant wives, child molesters raping kids in school classrooms, school shootings at least monthly, and drugs like meth and bath salts turning people into animals.
"Do you mind if I turn this off?" I asked, pointing at the TV as I entered.
They were showing a story about a teenage girl who stabbed her mother to death in the shower because she had placed her on punishment for missing curfew.
After such a relaxing and stimulating night, I don't want to wake up to this.
"Sure, turn it off, change the channel, whatever you want," Tevin replied as he started plating the meal. "The last thing I want is for you to get upset, not while you're carrying our baby."
I chuckled.
"Well, then I need to take the year off from school. There will be drama in my life between now and when I go into labor. I just don't want to hear it this morning."
Instead of turning it off, I opted to tune into Jerry Springer. There were two women on there fighting over the same man. Tevin smirked as he set my plate in front of me.
"What?"
He shrugged.
"You said you don't want to watch any drama, but then you turned to a talk show?"
"This isn't drama to me," I replied. "It's funny. The people on these shows want their segment of fame, not even 15 minutes. Anyone with common sense wouldn't go on one if a producer called them up and said they were invited to be a guest."
Tevin sat beside me and started digging into his plate. I got up to get two glasses and to grab some orange juice from the fridge. It was packed with food.
"I thought you said that you were low on groceries since you were in Florida."
"I was," he said. "I went to Whole Foods at 6 a.m.
"Wow, I was really knocked out. I didn't even hear you leave out or come back in."
I sat back down at the table and poured both of us some juice. The island must have worn me out.
Tevin rubbed my thigh.
"Don't give St. Thomas credit for the magic that only my dick can do."
We both laughed. "I kind of recall being on top last night and putting in most of the work," I stated jokingly. "But your dick was my sleeping pill last night. I haven't had my medication in a hot minute."
"So, when are you moving in?"
I almost choked on my juice.
"Moving in?"
Tevin stopped eating and stared at me.
"Gemistry, I can understand if you're not ready to get married yet. And honestly, I don't want to go to the Justice of the Peace. I want a big wedding. You deserve that. But I'm drawing the line at us living separately while you're pregnant. Anything could happen, and I need to be there in case it does."
"Tevin, I still have to go to work, and so do you. You make it sound like you're going to be on watch around the clock."
"I may not be able to do that, but I can damn sure be around you as much as possible, and that means you moving in here."
"I told you yesterday I'm subletting from Tiana for the next month. I promised her that I would rent her place for 3 months, and I plan to keep my word."
"So pay the rent. Better yet, I'll pay her the rent and you can still move in here."
He paused.
"Where's your stuff?"
"In public storage on Bladensburg Road."
"Then we need to figure out what furniture we want to keep of mine and what we want to keep of yours. I'm not emotionally attached to any of my furniture, so I'll defer those choices to you. The only thing I care about is you being here."
"How can you make those kinds of decisions off the cuff and act like I don't have any say in the matter?"
I was getting irritated, but tried to remain cognizant of the fact that my hormones were changing.
"I'm used to being independent. It's been a long time since I was under the same roof with a man."
"I'm not a man. I'm your man and the father of our child."
It was obvious that he was letting his feelings enter into the discussion.
"How about a compromise?" I said. "I'll stay here most of the time, but still keep Tiana's place for the next month or so, in case something
In case something what?
Happens to break us up again? Gemistry, why all the negativity and assumptions? It is possible for two people to make a life work together. Granted, we live in a different time than even our parents, but it doesn't mean that everyone is incapable of having a functional situation. Nothing's going to happen. I get what you're saying, but we just got back together last night. You keep making it sound like we've been apart for a decade. Neither one of us has changed that drastically since the beginning of June, and we love each other. That's all that matters. He pushed his plate away. I felt bad since he had gone through all of the trouble to go shopping at sunrise and come back and cook. Then I made that comment about not wanting to see drama on television, and we were outdoing everyone on it. Tevin, okay. I'll move in. He eyed me sideways. Now you're only trying to satiate me. Isn't that what you wanted? For me to cave? So I've caved. I'm moving in. I picked up his fork, scooped up some of the egg whites, and held it up to his mouth. Open wide. He ate it and laughed. Don't treat me like an infant. I'm practicing. I picked up some more food and pretended the fork was an airplane, then started making engine noises. Come on, poor little Tink Tink, one more bite. He almost choked on the food from laughing at me. I have to get to work, he said. I have a consult in an hour. That's cool. I'm having lunch with Courtney today anyway. Tevin had stood and was halfway to the kitchen entryway when he stopped and turned to look at me. Courtney who? I giggled. Courtney as in Floyd's wife? I didn't realize that the two of you were still communicating. She hasn't said anything to me and neither has Floyd. Yes, we are. We've been hanging out quite often. She's my new BFF. What's a BFF? Best friend forever, silly. Forgive me, I don't hang out with 14 to 18-year-olds like you do at school. He seemed hesitant. Does Floyd know that the two of you have been spending time together? I laughed. You make it sound like we're screwing each other. Spending time. I finished off my juice. I guess he knows, but I honestly haven't seen him. We usually meet up, sometimes with the kids and sometimes without them. After this huge breakfast, I may have to push lunch back an hour so I can get a nap in. Since I'm pregnant, I can throw down every few hours, though. I hope you don't dump me if I put on too much weight. Tevin waved me off. Never going to happen. But let me ask you one more thing. Does Courtney know that you're pregnant with my child? I wasn't sure how to respond to that question. Lying would have been easiest because the truth would only lead to Tevin not trusting Courtney and Floyd. Courtney had sworn Floyd to secrecy, making him promise not to divulge anything to Tevin. He had confronted me about it, and I begged him not to say anything to Tevin. Well, he said impatiently, does she know? I stared up into his eyes. Never mind, he added. I get the picture. Tevin walked out, and while I felt some kind of relief, the words unspoken were enough to make him recognize the truth. He was far from stupid. Chapter 24. It's not about who hurt you and broke you down. It's about who was always there and made you smile again. Unknown.
Girl, you look fabulous pregnant.
Courtney gave me a hug and then we headed into DC Coast for lunch.
Have you eaten here before? I heard it's ridiculously good.
Courtney, I'm only a few months. I'm sure that I'll be waddling in a couple of months, and that shit is not cute.
Chemistry, you're glowing. I've had 4 babies, and each time I look like all the blood was drained from my body by the end of the first trimester. Pregnancy has always been rough on me.
Hell, this is no walk in the park for me either. We gave our name for the reservation and were seated. Lots to choose from on the menu, I said as I started checking out the selections. Like most pregnant women, my cravings changed from day to day. Did you eat a lot of pickles and ice cream when you were pregnant? I always thought that was a myth, but I love the combination, and I've always hated pickles.
What about ice cream?
Courtney asked, as she used her knife as a mirror to make sure she didn't have any lipstick on her teeth. I've always been down with ice cream, even though I'm lactose intolerant.
Ah, oh, that's the worst, but I feel you. I eat mushrooms and tomatoes like they are going out of style, and neither one agree with me. I spend half the night on the toilet after I indulge.
I made my selections. I'm going to do the heirloom beet carpaccio for starters, and then try out the pan-roasted Arctic char with squash and eggplant, and some spinach with garlic and chili.
You're going to need some acid reflux medicine after all of that. I'm keeping it simple, since I don't know what half the shit is that you just named.
We both giggled.
I'm going to try the chicken Caesar salad and the crab cakes.
Chicken? I exclaimed. You could cook that at home.
Exactly.
Courtney was looking for the waitress so we could place our order. I decided that then was as good a time as any to say what needed to be said. I have some good news and some bad news. Which one do you want to hear first?
I despise it when people give me that kind of choice. It's a fucked up situation either way.
How so?
If I tell you that I want to hear the bad news first, then I'll be too upset to appreciate the good news. If I tell you, hit me with the good first, once you tell me the bad, the good becomes quickly overshadowed.
You do have a point.
Courtney shrugged. So you choose and I'll deal with it. It's either a win-lose or a lose-win.
Tevin and I ran into each other at BWI yesterday when I was coming back from St. Thomas.
I planned to ask you about your trip, but this is definitely going to be juicier.
She took a sip of her water as the waitress approached. After we ordered, she said,
"You ran into each other, and then what?"
He was standing there waiting for the parking shuttle, and he didn't see me at first. I hesitated about saying anything, but he must have sensed me somehow. Next thing I knew, he was turning around and staring at me.
And then what happened?
He was happy to see me. Told me all about how he'd been searching for me and staking out my old place. How he'd called the school system, but they told him to beat it. Tevin told me how much he loved me and begged for another chance. I paused for a few seconds. I took running into him as a sign. I'd come to the conclusion on my trip that I had to tell him about the pregnancy. It wasn't fair to continue keeping him in the dark.
That's what I've been trying to get through your thick head all along.
Yes, you have, and you were right. I started smiling. He's so excited about the baby, but I can tell that he's going to drive me insane with worry.
Gemistry, you're going to have to be patient with Tevin. He's been through a lot. Estella's 3 miscarriages took a toll on him. It took him years to snap back from that. It was tragic.
I realized that. The waitress brought Courtney's Caesar salad and my beet whatever it was. I'm doing the most. I've never tasted a beet in my life.
Well, it certainly looks delightful.
I'll let you know. I took a bite and debated on my opinion. It's different, but good. Want to try some?
No, I'm going to play it safe with my salad.
Yeah, it's damn near impossible to fuck up a Caesar salad. We both chuckled. How well did you know Estella? I asked Courtney. Did you hang out like the two of us do?
No, not really. Estella was kind of a homebody. When I met her, she'd already had one miscarriage, but I'd known Tevin for a few years prior to that. He and Floyd didn't start doing things together outside of work for a while. Now, you can't keep them apart.
So, back to my news. We met up at his house, talked things through, and I've decided to try again, to give us another chance. I even told Tevin that I'm in love with him. I had to admit it to myself first. Courtney almost choked on a piece of lettuce and then drank some water to get it down.
That's wonderful, and it's about damn time you came to that conclusion. A blind person could have seen that you're in love.
She glanced out the window at an ambulance passing by with its sirens blasting.
I keep telling you that Tevin's not the type to cheat. He's always been like some mythical creature from an old fable. They don't make men like him anymore.
Please, Courtney, Floyd worships you from what I've seen.
Floyd is definitely there for me. He's a great provider and he adores the kids, but...
But nothing. The two of you are doing it. You have what most couples yearn for, a happy marriage.
Courtney seemed like she wasn't too sure about what I'd said.
It is a happy marriage, isn't it? I asked.
I presume that it is.
Presume?
We've had our issues, nothing major.
Everyone has issues. Think about it. It's not easy allowing another person to be a part of your world all the time. It's been years since I've been serious, until Tevin, and it is definitely a challenge. You have to get used to each other's ways and temperament, habits, both good and bad, trigger points and trying to prevent pressing buttons that don't need to be pushed.
Sounds like you know what you're getting yourself into. You and Tevin will be fine. I'm glad he won't be moping around like a lovesick puppy anymore.
My hormones are wilding out. Floyd might have to take Tevin out somewhere to relieve some adrenaline at least once a week until I have this baby.
What about a wedding?
I looked at Courtney with surprise.
Oh, come on. Tevin's not going to let you have that child without being married. I know that for a fact. Besides, he told Floyd he bought a ring and had planned to propose when all of that bullshit went down with your roommate.
He did, and I couldn't believe that he snuck behind my back and purchased it when we were in the Caymans, slick ass. We got our main courses and ordered some iced tea with lemon. Again, Courtney's crab cakes looked like, well, crab cakes. And my entree looked thought-provoking. I had no idea what char was when I ordered it, but assumed it was fish. It was, and it was actually good. I'm normally a creature of habit, but I'm going to start being more daring with trying different things from now on.
Do you, baby girl? I'm sticking to what works for me.
Courtney wiped her mouth with her napkin.
So when do I need a dress for the wedding? Hopefully a bridesmaid dress. Hint, hint.
I sighed. I suggested that we wait on the marriage. Just for a little while, but he convinced me to move in with him. That's easy since I'm subletting anyway. I'm going to pay Tiana for an additional month regardless.
But are you going to be married by the time the bundle of joy arrives?
If Tevin has anything to say about it, yes.
I'm not even sure why I'm putting it off. I should at least wear the engagement ring.
Damn right. You should have worn it today so I could see it. I'm sure it is sick.
Sick? Yeah, it's stunning.
Well, you should have worn it today so I could be stunned.
We laughed and kept eating. Once we ordered desserts, Courtney asked the question that I hoped she'd forgotten all about.
You haven't told me the bad news yet. What is it?
I wiped my mouth, sighed, and put my cloth napkin back across my lap. While I didn't flat out confess to it, Tevin asked if you and Floyd knew about my pregnancy. He had no idea that you and I were even talking on the regular. When I mentioned that I was having lunch with you, he nearly lost it. Courtney seemed irritated. Aren't you going to respond? I asked. She shook her head.
See, this is why I wanted you to tell him from jump. Trust and believe there will be drama.
Let's hope not.
Oh, it's about to go down. Floyd and Tevin are a lot alike, but they're also very distinctive when it comes to their emotions.
What do you mean by that?
They're both type A personalities.
Which means what? Courtney put her napkin on the table after finishing a massive slice of strawberry cheesecake.
I'm stuffed and I'm tapping out.
As much as I pride myself on knowing it all, what makes our men type A personalities?
They're both ambitious overachievers, organized, proactive, impatient, good at managing their time, and they prefer people to get straight to the point.
I laughed. I can see that in both of them.
Indeed, but that's where they part ways.
Uh-oh, not the parting of the ways, I joked.
Tevin is an idealist, and Floyd is a protector. Well, in essence, They are both those things, but there is always a dominant personality.
You're too smart to be a stay-at-home mother. I keep telling you that. Courtney had a degree in psychology from American University, but had chosen to raise the kids while Floyd worked. Still, I was often amazed at how she would go from talking about swimming lessons in day camp to really deep shit.
One day, I'll go out into the world and make my own millions. Right now, my life is all about making sure my kids make honor roll, have dinner on the table, and that they feel loved.
Well, I can't give up my career, but I will take maternity leave.
And no one is suggesting that you should.
I had to admit that I felt some kind of way about the way the conversation was headed. While I could understand women making the decision not to work to stay home with their children, it was not for me. I had struggled too hard to get where I was, and it was more important for me to allow my child to see me become successful. I realize that you're not suggesting it. In many ways, I admire the fact that you're there with the kids all the time. You've had a husband from day one while I was somewhere being mistreated, beaten, or humiliated. I had to learn to fend for myself.
The past is the past, Gemistry. I really pray that you can let all of that go. Tevin has a lot of values, and I don't believe that he'll relinquish them for any reason. If he didn't think that he could be the man you deserve, he'd walk away first. When you broke up with him, he was devastated, beyond devastated. He would try to hide it around me when he was coming over and heading down into Floyd's so-called man cave. But he couldn't mask his pain. I've seen it before. And not to compare apples to oranges, but he took losing you at least as hard as he took losing Estella.
Speaking of Estella, do you think Tevin's still in love with her? Be honest. Courtney stared at me from across the table. Seriously, tell me what you think.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think. Sure, I think he still cares for her. Tevin's not the type to marry someone he doesn't truly love. There's probably something still there, but it's not what it once was. If she was in some kind of dire situation, I'm sure he'd try to help her, but he's a doctor. He'd do that for a stranger on the street or on the operating table, so one would expect him to be there for those who matter to him. But he's very loyal and extremely honest. He's not going to do anything to hurt you, Gemistry. He deserves a chance at happiness, and so do you.
After we paid and left DC Coast, Courtney and I decided to hit up a few boutiques to look for maternity clothes. I couldn't believe that I was about to have a baby. Then I felt the fetus kick for the first time. Chapter 25. True love doesn't have a happy ending, because true love has no ending. Unknown. The first day of each school year could always be either exciting in a positive way or straight up ridiculous in a negative way. It really depended on the attitudes of both the students and the faculty. The incoming freshmen were nervous no matter how you sliced it. Even the ones who thought they were the shit and had huge egos because they were the most popular in elementary school and middle school got a reality check, fast, quick, and in a hurry. The ones who had always been shy, afraid of their own shadow, or bullied had it the worst since they expect more of the same treatment. High school is a totally different experience, though. It is an opportunity to reinvent yourself. Even if the ones who made your life a nightmare were in some of your classes, the student body was at least 3 times larger than middle school since several fed into Medgar Evers. The ones considered weak in 8th grade could become student body president within 2 years. The ones that were most popular could end up being bullied and find themselves outcasts within mere months. A lot of the weight on how a student flourished or fell off the cliff rested on their parents' shoulders. Despite societal views and seeing so much negativity on the internet and in the media about wayward youths, most parents still wanted the best for their children.
They wanted their children to surpass anything that they had ever accomplished. They wanted to try to ensure that their children had a good education and were established in financially stable careers before they had to leave this earth and their offspring behind. Most worked hard to provide for their families and struggled every day to make sure that their children did not have to endure the same struggles. Most of them. And those were the parents who came to PTA meetings and made sure their kids participated in organized sports and various academic clubs. The ones who sent their kids on college tours were proactive in trying to seek out financial aid and scholarships for them to get a higher education. The ones that burned the midnight oil to help them complete science fair projects and homework on time, and drilled them on test material until they had everything memorized. The ones that would hire tutors that they may not have been able to afford if they saw their children slipping in any given subject. Then there were the parents that I called the others. The ones that I never blamed for their actions because I realized that a lot of it stemmed from deep issues, dark secrets, and generational curses. Those parents also believed that they were doing the right thing, most of the time. If they had to beg, barter, and steal to survive because their parents begged, bartered, and stole, that was all that they knew. If they grew up watching their parents, aunts, and uncles strung out on drugs or alcohol and skating through life by the skin of their teeth, many believed that was all life had to offer them. Sure, they heard stories about and saw successful people in the media, or worked for some, but they never believed they could actually achieve success like that. I considered a great portion of my responsibility trying to make those children see that they could achieve greatness, to present them with case studies of famous people, inventors, doctors, lawyers, politicians, celebrities, professional athletes, who grew up in conditions at least as bad as them, and not only survived, but thrived. I arrived an hour before school opened to get settled in my office. There were already some kids standing around anxiously, even though the doors were still locked. In D.C., children who lived within a mile radius of the school were required to walk or take public transportation. No school buses unless it was a greater distance. While I could see the health benefits of making them walk, that was the only exercise many of them would get because they had no choice, I took issue with their safety being placed at risk. Many walked alone, and in the winter months, since D.C. rarely closed down the schools in inclement weather, we always ended up with children sick and missing a lot of days that could have been avoided by keeping the schools closed for one day. It made no sense, but if we took too many snow days, it meant extending the school year. I was gathering a crate of paperwork out of my hatch when I spotted Winsome approaching me from across the parking lot. Great. Just what the fuck I need this morning. She didn't even say hello first. Gemistry, we need to talk. We've got to hash this out. I closed the back of my SUV. I can't believe you showed up on my first day of school. You know this is one of my most hectic days. What I know is this is the one place I could find you this morning since you've been avoiding me for months. I haven't been avoiding you. I don't want to be bothered with you at all. Avoiding implies that at some point I plan to deal with you again. That shit's not happening. We stood there looking at each other in the face. Then Winsome squinted. You are pregnant. I wondered how she knew that. I had on a loose dress. I wasn't trying to announce my pregnancy right off the break to anyone at the school. Not even Lilybeth. You're tripping. I'm not pregnant. I can see it in your face. It's not fatter or anything, but you have that glow. I went to St. Thomas for a few days. It's a tan. Winsome stood there and started tapping her foot on the concrete. You can't fool me. I've seen your ass when you've come back from vacation before, and I've had enough chicks in my family and friends who've had babies to tell a pregnancy glow.
I was in a panic, not because I cared about Winsome figuring it out, but I wondered if other people at school would figure it out. My faculty was comprised of people who had at least one child, if not several, and Lilybeth had grandchildren. "How many months are you?" Winsome asked, snapping me out of my trance. "None of your business," I replied, walking past her. "I don't have time for this. I have more than 2,000 students to get situated and organized. I need to finish writing my back-to-school speech." "I'm sure you finished writing that a month ago," Winsome smirked. She was right. I would never wait until the last minute for something like that.
"You look good, girl. So I take it that you and Tevin are back together? He is a father, right?"
"That does it. I don't have whore tendencies like you." Winsome sucked her teeth. "Wow, you're just gonna stand there and call me a whore? So that's where we are now?" I sat the crate down on the ground. "No one told your ass to come here, to my place of employment, trying to start some kind of spectacle with me. You already know, I don't do theatrical performances. And that's why we are nowhere now. I didn't come for you, you came for me. Now you can turn your scandalous stank ass around and go crawl back into the cave you came out of."
"Gemistry, I swear, if you weren't pregnant, I'd..."
"Tell you what, meet me here on the first day of school next year. Same place, same time, and we can go out in the woods behind the school and fight until I knock your fucking block off." Winsome was obviously shocked. Truth be told, I was shocking myself by talking and acting that way. "You think resorting to violence is the answer?" I asked her. "That says a lot about your character, or lack thereof. Grown women discuss matters. Little girls throw punches. But if you want to go there, like I said, next year, and we can make it happen." She was about to say something, opened her mouth, and then shut it again while she thought of a comeback and digested my words. Meanwhile, I attempted to regain my composure. People were starting to stare at us, sensing that something was wrong. The last thing I needed was to end up on some YouTube video and end up losing my job. Winsome wasn't worth it.
"Winsome, this is exactly why we can't be friends." I waved my left hand up and to the side. "There's nothing left. You went too far. I did nothing but support you, love you like a sister, and even paid your bills when that bullshit job you were doing fell off. I bet you're somewhere mooching off someone else right now."
She dropped her eyes, letting me know that I was on point. "We're too damn old. You're too damn old to still be trying to figure out what direction you want to take with your life. You've had 20 different jobs since I've known you, none of them with any chance for progression. You've been crawling your way through life instead of getting your ass up and running.
I'm sick of it. What you did to Tevin was the final act of a tragic Shakespearean play."
Winsome glared at me.
"What I did to him?"
"Oh, please," I exclaimed in disgust. "Even now, you're prepared to still stand there and lie to my face. I admit that you had me there for a hot minute. Hell, months even. You made me break off the first real thing with the first real man that I've had in years over your weak-ass self-esteem."
"How dare you?"
"No, how the fuck dare you?" I retorted. "You've been riding the fence your entire damn life. Not sure what you want to do for a living, not sure what you want to study in school, not sure whether you want to settle down with a man or a woman, not sure about jack shit. And then you wonder why no one has ever loved you or even tried to love you."
Winsome started trembling. If I weren't pregnant, she actually may have jumped me, she was so mad.
"Damn, Gemistry, why not just whip out a switchblade and carve my ass up? Better yet, a machete and chop my head off.
I'm trying to tell you the truth, for once. People have always sugarcoated shit for you, including me. In many ways, I've been your crutch. Something that's supposed to be a temporary easement so that strength can be regained in a limb.
You're not my crutch. I've always taken care of myself. Again, you're standing there lying.
I looked around the parking lot. People were walking into the building and waving at me, but no one was currently within earshot.
And for whose benefit? You and I both know that's not true.
It was a bad idea for you to come here, Winsome.
I don't hate you. I'm done with you. I'm done allowing you to bring havoc and chaos into my life.
There was a time when I needed that. I craved it like a crack junkie craves a pipe.
We were perfect for each other. Two hurt people living together, wallowing in pity together, and licking each other's wounds.
But I'm in love now. I'm in love with a man who genuinely loves me back. And I'm not risking my last shot, my one shot at happiness, for you or anyone else.
Winsome started walking backward toward her car.
I hate you.
I'm going to pretend like you really don't mean that. But if you do, I accept that. If having you hate me means having Tevin love me for the remainder of my natural life, I'll accept that.
I can't believe you're choosing him over me.
Winsome, you're my friend. You were never my woman.
I paused, picked my crate back up, and then added, I hope that you find love one day. And that's never going to happen until you're receptive to it. Trust me, I speak from experience.
I wasted so many years trying to deflect men that it made it impossible for any man to get through my barrier. I finally decided that I don't want to die with a lot of regrets. I want to grow old with someone. I want to die in someone's arms or have them die in mine and know that I am there for them, or better yet, die in each other's arms.
So that's it? You're casting me completely out of your life? After I came here to work things out?
This can't be worked out.
Working this out would mean crawling back down in that hole with you and burying my face in the sand, and I'm not doing it. Working this out would mean going home to Tevin tonight and disrespecting him by telling him that I'm dealing with you again. I can't do that.
I anticipated Winsome saying something else sarcastic, going the hell off, or at least saying something deep and reflective, in an attempt to get in the proverbial last word. Instead, she just turned and walked away in silence.
I yelled after her, You need to go talk to someone, Winsome. Please, go talk to someone.
By the time I got to the front steps of the school, she was peeling out of the parking lot. One of the male students offered to carry the crate inside for me. I looked at him and forced a smile.
Thanks, and welcome to Medgar Evers. What's your name? And what grade are you in?
Chapter 26. Love doesn't make the world go round. Love is what makes a ride worthwhile. Unknown. Tevin met me at the OBGYN's office for my prenatal checkup after school. He was excited and asked 1,000 questions, even though he was a doctor himself. You would have thought he was back in medical school and that I was a test subject with an assigned number like E-105. After Dr. Horton assured him that both the baby and I were fine, he calmed down a little. I made an appointment for 4 weeks later, and Tevin walked me to the parking garage. He had found street parking. He suddenly seemed quiet. A few moments earlier, no one could shut his ass up.
What's wrong with you? I asked him, locking my left arm into his right.
Dr. Horton said everything's great.
And that's fantastic. I can't wait until the next visit so we can see the sonogram.
I meant to ask you about that. Do you think we should find out the sex?
That's up to you, baby.
Well, don't you want to know whether we're having a boy or a girl?
All I really care about is the baby being healthy, having 10 fingers and toes, and coming home with us.
He stopped walking and turned toward me, then took my hands. Coming home to his or her married parents.
I blinked twice and then sucked in a breath. Chemistry, come on. This is ridiculous. We love each other and we're bringing a life into the world together. Let's get married. I have no intention of ever getting a divorce.
I'm sure you didn't have any intention the first time.
I regretted the words the second they left my lips.
I didn't mean it like...
Tevin grinned and kissed me on the forehead, then said, It's okay, it's the truth. And no, I can't promise you that nothing will ever happen to break us up. But what I can say is that you'd have to leave me. He gazed into my eyes. I'm a man of my word. I didn't file for divorce the first time, and I won't do it this time.
I understand.
Do you really? I want you to realize that when I marry you, and I will, the vows will mean everything to me, and I won't default on them. I won't turn my back on you, ever. I started walking again to avoid eye contact. I couldn't possibly tell Tevin what was actually on my mind. I wanted to wait until I got past my second trimester before we got married. Even though I would be showing, I didn't want to run the risk of having a miscarriage and having Tevin relive his nightmare all over again by being in a marriage with a woman who couldn't give him a child. Despite what the test said and what my doctor said, I'd never carried a child to term. But I had aborted one. Back when I was with Wesley, in the darkest of my days of abuse, I got pregnant. I was on birth control pills, just as I was on birth control when I got pregnant with Tevin's child. What can I say? The method worked for the majority of the time with the handful of men that I had ever allowed to enter me without a condom. It's true that women need to seriously consider the men they are sleeping with as father material, in case something happens. We walked the rest of the way to my truck in silence. I used the key fob to unlock it, opened the door, and tossed my purse onto the passenger seat. I turned to give Tevin a hug. I'll see you at home. He gave me a half hug back.
You never answered my question.
What question?
Do you understand what kind of man I am?
Yes, I do. I understand. I appreciate. I love you for it.
Then pick a date. A date for us to either go to the Justice of the Peace, plan a small backyard wedding, get married at a church, or a date to take off to an island or go to Vegas so that you can become Mrs. Tevin Harris.
I needed a glass of wine, but that wasn't happening. I wouldn't even touch soda while I was pregnant, much less alcohol.
Go back to the hospital. We'll discuss it tonight.
Speaking of the hospital, Floyd's been hiding out for the past couple of days.
I played dumb.
Really?
Maybe he's just busy, or maybe he took a couple of days off.
No, he's around. I hear them paging him, and his car is in the lot. He's the only doctor there with a Bentley. Every time they call him over the intercom, I'm hemmed up, but I'm going to catch up to him sooner or later.
I decided continuing to play dumb was my best bet.
Oh, okay, well, I'm sure he's fine.
For now.
Tevin had an angry expression on his face.
No more playing dumb.
I sighed and leaned against the back door. Tevin. I asked Floyd not to mention my pregnancy to you. He never wanted to go along with it. In fact, he pleaded with me to tell you. I told him that I needed time to tell you in my own way. I didn't want him delivering that kind of news when we weren't even speaking.
Floyd is supposed to be my best friend, he stated vehemently.
And he is your best friend. I ran my fingers over Tevin's chest. Think about it. If he told you and I wasn't prepared to even face you, what would you have done?
He sighed. It's not only about the pregnancy. Floyd sat there and listened to me for months, describing how I would go sit outside of your old place and wait for you. He knew that I was about to go crazy with worry, and his ass knew how to contact you all along. That's unforgivable.
No, it's not unforgivable. He only did what I asked
So if you must take it out on someone, take it out on me.
Tevin frowned. I'm not taking anything out on you. I love you.
And Floyd loves you. Don't try to punish him or confront him about any of this. He's avoiding you because he feels bad.
I told Courtney at lunch the other day that you'd figured it out, about them knowing. I'm sure she related that to him.
Tevin smirked.
I'm sure she did.
Floyd's a good man. You need to cut him a break. He was only trying to do the best for all involved.
I wrapped my arms around his waist and laid my head on his chest.
Besides, what does it matter now? We're back together. You know about the baby and everything's all good.
Tevin's heart felt like it was about to jump out of his chest.
Floyd's not the saint you and Courtney believe him to be.
I giggled, let him go, and started to climb into the driver's seat. I never said Floyd was a saint, but he is a good man and he loves his wife and kids. And he loves you. So go kiss and make up.
I'm not kissing his ass.
Tevin finally laughed.
But I am going to make sure I see him today, tomorrow at the latest.
I'm going to stop by Eatonville and pick up dinner. You want some of that gumbo you like?
Yes. Get some gumbo and grab some of those corn muffins while you're at it.
Bye, baby.
Tevin leaned in and kissed me gently on the lips.
Now go lay one of those on Floyd, I joked as I put on my seatbelt.
Shit. There's not a snowball's chance in hell of that happening.
We both laughed as he shut my door and watched me start the engine and pull away. He seemed like he was in a better mood. I hoped that Tevin would let the entire thing with Floyd go. He had been stuck between a rock and a hard place and made the only choice that made sense at the time. That's all any of us can ever do.
Chapter 27.
You don't mean anything to me. You mean everything to me. Unknown. When Tevin got back that night, he had indeed tracked Floyd down at Sibley. It did not go well.
That motherfucker!
I was sitting on the sofa with my feet up when he stormed into the living room and threw his keys on the coffee table. He collapsed into the armchair as I stood up and walked behind him to start massaging his shoulders. It was obvious that he was talking about Floyd. His muscles were tensed up like bricks.
Baby, you need to calm down before you have a stroke or something.
He sounded like he was hissing but didn't respond.
I hope you didn't get into a loud confrontation in front of people at the hospital.
He shook his head.
No, I finally told his punk ass to meet me at the bar down the street so we could talk about the situation like men.
I sighed. Sounds like you wanted to have some kind of gladiator fight.
I should have whipped his ass.
I stopped massaging him and walked around the chair to look down on him.
Tevin, I already told you that Floyd only did what he thought was best. He honored my request and I appreciate that.
Tevin glared at me.
You do realize that I can never trust him. I should have never trusted him in the first place. Any man who fucks half of the women at work and then smiles up in his wife's face is a damn good liar. I should call Courtney and rat his ass out.
It was not the norm for someone to render me speechless, but that was exactly what happened when Tevin blurted that out about Floyd. He stared at me. I stared at him. We both knew the situation that we now faced. It was unwritten man code and woman code that once either knew that one of their friends or relatives had a cheating spouse or mate, the man should feel obligated to tell the other man, and the woman should be obligated to tell the other woman. It was so obvious that I decided to call him on it.
So, you're going to put that burden on me?
Tevin lowered his eyes. I went and sat back down on the sofa. For a few moments, we sat in silence. Tevin finally spoke.
I'm sorry, Gemistry. I didn't mean to put Floyd's business out there, but I was pissed.
You do realize that you just told me that Floyd is a man whore. and that now I can either betray my friend by allowing her to believe that her husband is faithful, or I can conspire against her, hope she never finds out the truth another way, and that she never asks me if I already knew.